The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome once again to Afternoons with Mike here on the Shepherd Radio Station. Regardless of where you're listening this morning, maybe it is in North Central Florida, could be down toward Tampa, all the way to Daytona Beach, or maybe in Orlando. I welcome you on the Shepherd Radio Network. I've got a good friend and a person that I've just talked to for the first time, both with me. The first is Aaron Osborne. Aaron Osborne is the senior pastor, the lead pastor at Metro Life Church, and there are some transitions, very exciting things happening in Aaron's life, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that. But along with Aaron Osborne as my guest today, I've got Jaime Blandon. That's Jaime Blandon. Now, that may be a different first name. It would look more like our Jamie. But Jaime is from Nicaragua. And he's actually today in the city of Titusville, Florida, if I've got my facts right. And Jaime, he is here, and he has a vision from God that is very exciting. So first of all, let me welcome Aaron, my good buddy. Aaron, welcome back to the program. You've been on with me before.
Thank you so much for having me back again, Mike.
It's great having Aaron here. And Jaime Blandon, you're originally, as I said, from Nicaragua. So welcome to my program over the phone lines. And I hope that our connection stays nice and clear as it is right now. Jaime, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, and good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here today with you, Mike, and with Pastor Aaron. Well, let me give you a little bit of my background. And I became a believer when I was 27 years old. By the way, in that time, I was in the Army, and I was alcoholic, struggling with alcohol. And I went to prison because somebody stole my weapon. So I was facing a very difficult time in that moment, alone with no family, with no friend, with no nothing, and facing, you know, a process where the Army can send me to eight years in prison. And that was the first time that I realized that I was lost and I was without direction in life. And somebody gave me a book named Life in Christ from Billy Graham Ministry. And on prison, I become a believer. I remember the day when I followed my need and cried to the Lord, Lord, save me, change me, give me direction to my life. And immediately, a joy I still cannot describe with words.
Oh my goodness. And
something happened in my life. The Lord changed my heart. And 15 days after, I was out of this prison. That was the second miracle I see in my life. From there on has been a journey, Mike. I myself still cannot believe it could be possible.
Mm. You know, it's so amazing to hear that a book written by Billy Graham, a book, and it's also true with even what we are praying for today, a radio program, a podcast, a recording. Sometimes people are the recipient of a tract that is given to them. We never know where the words of God and how they go out are going to end up. And in your case, ending up in a prison, in a jail. And you said that you were there because someone stole your weapon.
Yes, exactly. Somebody stole my weapon after and we finished our God duty. And so the Army realized somebody needs to pay for this, and they opened a process, but because the weapon never appeared and they never find it, they was like, well, somebody need to pay for this, but never know that the Lord was in the middle, you know, open doors, you know, to lead me to Jesus.
Yeah, right. Now that would be the Nicaraguan Army, right?
Exactly. It was in the Special Forces in that time.
Right. Well, I tell you what, strange paths sometimes lead to wonderful things. And the opportunity that that you were not looking forward to, I'm sure, being accused of something and ending up in prison only to find the Lord there. That is indeed a silver lining to that situation. And then from there, did you stay in Nicaragua for a long time after that?
Well, what happened, brother, was this. And God opened, you know, a road, and I entered to attending a church in the north side of the country. And there, the Lord started to develop a desire to read the Bible, to pray, to do something, or serve on the church. And my pastor realized that I have a call for the Lord, for the ministry. And my pastor said, "Hi, I think the Lord is calling you to do ministry, to enter ministry, but you need to be trained." And I remembered trying to find a Bible school or a place where to be trained. And the Lord opened a door to attend a Bible school in Edinburgh, Texas. And I remember the struggle when I see the number, how much money, you know, I supposed to pay to the school to attend it. And I was like, wow, this is impossible. I remember at that moment, my salary was $13 a month. And I was needing, I think, $4,000 just for the first semester. But nope. The Lord make a miracle. And I went to the Bible school and graduated after a four-year program back in 2005. And there on was when I returned to Nicaragua to be a full-time missionary.
Tell me again your salary. I think that bears repeating. What was your salary before going into this Bible school?
13.
13?
Per month.
Per month. Yes. $13 per month. And
yes.
So basically, if I'm counting correctly, that's miracle number three for you that you've mentioned so far today, getting to go to a Bible school in Texas and a four-year program. And the Lord really did open the door for you. And so your calling was that of a missionary because you had a heart to take the gospel back into this basically Central America, South America type of area, maybe even into, as we're going to hear a little bit later, the Caribbean as well, and the heart for the gospel. So when you get back to Nicaragua, what was the first thing that happened to you?
Well, the first thing was, you know, adapt. I spent 4 years in the U.S., you know, with better condition. Now I am back with a small budget and trying to start a church. And I moved to the north side again of Nicaragua, and we start a church with another brother in Condega City. By the way, it is the poorest area in Nicaragua. Mm. But I remember, you know, trying to reach the young, the kids, and the Lord bless us. I mean, from one moment to another, we was five people meeting in a little chapel that was falling in pieces. And from there on, the Lord started to bring people were safe, young people were safe. And I mean, from 1 month, in 6 months, we grow from five people to 120 people. And
praise God.
And the church after 10 years, the church still running, still doing ministry, planting churches. And was really a blessing.
That's wonderful. Thank God for that. And all of this, I'm still reeling from the beginnings of your walk with God and how you found the Lord. And, you know, I think that it just bears pointing out that sometimes we do not estimate correctly the impact of a prayer in a prison cell or a prayer perhaps in somebody's office. It can seem to be the most maybe innocuous, the most lacking in meaning moment, but in your life and in the lives of many people, such a moment is not only life-changing for that individual, but it's life-changing for the hundreds of people that you've been able to reach with the gospel of Jesus. So Jaime, thank you for that. That's a wonderful story. We're going to pick back up with Jaime in a moment. I'm going to go now for a moment to Aaron. Aaron, if you'll just go ahead and Tell us a little bit about what's in your heart with regard. I know that this is not a new thing to have a heart for people that are in other countries. I mean, so many pastors really have, and rightly so, they have the burden for their local church, for their local congregation. In your situation, you've had that, but there's also been this aspect, as long as I've known you and everything that I've heard about you, that is a love for the church beyond. So tell me, how did that begin?
Yes, Mike. I don't share this part of my story a whole lot, but I do believe it's an integral part of why I'm even in the season and situation of transition that it appears that I'm in right now. And that would be going all the way back to my time at what we call the Pastor's College. I was there with your own son-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
We were classmates together, Chris and I, and we had a time of prayer and ministry. And a number of people, this would be the first time, and this would get repeated in other places, but on that particular day, I believe it was three different people, independent of each other, not knowing what the other had shared, had these prophetic words. You know, that's a gift of the Spirit we believe is still mm-hmm. going on today. It certainly needs to be submitted to Holy Scripture, but it comes alongside of us to encourage us and strengthen us. Well, Mike, in that moment of prayer, I received three different words regarding Latin ones, and that there would be a time in the future to serve with and come alongside of Latin ones. And at the time, it just didn't make a lot of sense in that the part of the country I was from in suburban Philadelphia and where I was going back to plant a church, there were, as far as I knew, very few Latin ones. And so that's part of the story. And interestingly enough, as we are moving into these days with our partnership, Grace Partnership, that's something God seems to be doing. And Jaime's another example of that, someone who's been introduced to us who just has a kindred spirit. And I think my heart beats for the local church. It mm-hmm. absolutely does. But that picture in the New Testament is of churches helping churches, supporting churches, partnering with churches to do everything they can to encourage them in the work of the gospel where they are. So that's a thrill.
It really is. And you've had an opportunity to go many times out of the United States. And I'm not sure, how did you meet Jaime? How did that happen?
Well, actually, Jaime came to us through the partnership. Within the partnership, we have a church in Barranquilla, Colombia. It's named Mission Rescate.
And that is Grace Partnership.
That is
over MetroLife and other churches.
Exactly. That is a church within the partnership. And Jaime and Juan, who is the lead pastor there in Barranquilla, they already knew each other. And as Juan continued to hear more of Jaime's story and really, in addition to what we're talking about, Jaime's heart to help the church he's now a part of in the Dominican Republic, that's what got us in contact with one another. And the zeal and passion for the Lord Jaime has is just, it's exactly what we long to see within the partnership.
Oh, that's wonderful. And again, every door, this is something that I see happening all the time as people I get to talk with folks, and all the years in ministry, it's so clear that when God opens a door, there's usually a door that's going to be opened through that door, through that person, through the web of influence that person has. And that's clearly an opportunity of what we're seeing happen with Jaime here. So Jaime, let's go back to you for a second. We left you in Nicaragua. You're doing a work in the DR right now. So before we take a break, tell us how you got to the DR.
Well, when I returned to Nicaragua, the Lord also gave us an opportunity to start a Christian ministry named 516 Now that is based here in the United States in South Carolina. So we started to do church planting, and we started a school, radio station ministry. We was receiving mission teams. So everything was wonderful, brother, in the ministry. The Lord bless us so much. We moved to another city to start a new church with my wife and my kids. But there was a time after 10 years in the mission field when we realized, well, if we look what the Lord allowed us to do, we are living the dream as a missionary. I mean, the Lord bless us. We have churches, radio station, school, bilingual school, mission teams coming down here. So what else can be done here? And we start to feel uncomfortable. And we was like, I think our time here is over. We need to go and look for a new place where to do ministry. And of course, that means to leave behind everything. And but we seek in two cities in Nicaragua, and we never feel the Lord was leading us in that direction until something happened in Nicaragua, social problem, and somehow the Lord brought us for vacation here in Florida. We stay here, and after rethinking, you know, and praying and asking for advice to different pastors and partners in ministry, well, we make the decision to go to the DR just with one luggage and dreams. So that was the way the Lord, you know, lead us to the DR. My wife is actually from the DR, and we land in the island with a luggage, my family, and a lot of questions and dreams.
Oh, that's wonderful. The DR, obviously, Hispaniola, on the island of Hispaniola, which is a shared existence with Haiti on the western part of that island. The DR is a beautiful island, but again, maybe not as poor as Haiti, but still a lot of need for the gospel to come into that area as well. Tell us about where in the DR you ended up.
Well, after seeking for a church word, I mean, we can fit, you know, as a missionary, the Lord lead us to Bani. Bani is like, I would say, an hour, 20 minutes west from the capital. And there, we start to fellowship, you know, to attend this church. The church allowed me to preach once a month, and after that, working with youth, my wife get involved with the woman ministry and kids. But working in this local church, the Lord led me to meet a Haitian pastor, and that also ministry in the area. And from there on, I realized the Lord brought me here to work with the Haitian Christian community.
Wow.
That is my call.
Now, I know.
That is my call.
That's fantastic. I know we just said that DR and Haiti are on the same island, but travel between the two, it's not easy, is it?
Exactly. They have some historical problem. And I don't think that will be fixed or solved soon.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, I mean, this thing exists. But for me as a believer, as a Christian, as a missionary, you know, the challenge is, at least for what the Lord placed in my heart. Okay, you want to reach Haiti, Jaime, with the gospel. But it's kind of challenging to go to Haiti for a different situation that is taking place there in this moment particularly. But what about the 2 million Haitians that live in this side of the island, that live right here where you live? What are you going to do with these 2 million people that need Jesus? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, Lord, I never think about that. I think many people never think about that. I mean, many churches has the desire to reach Haitian people in Haiti. But they forget that in the Dominican Republic is 2 million people that also need Jesus.
Mm. That's wonderful. And that you're right. They need Jesus. A huge amount of Haitians there in the DR. And that's going to lead us to what we're going to be discussing in our next segment. And the vision and the dream that Jaime has been given from the Lord. And really an opportunity for many people listening to us today to even share in that vision, that dream, that goal. We're going to be back with Jaime Blandon, also with Aaron Osborne, coming up in just a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Back on the line again today with Aaron Osborne, also Jaime Blandon. Jaime's in the DR, but speaking to us today from the coast of Florida over in Titusville. And I'm not not sure what all brought you over here today, but I'm so glad that you're in Florida and enjoying this hot, muggy weather that we're having over here. it's at least we're not getting the rain right now. Jaime is in the DR, as we just mentioned, and came originally from Nicaragua and found the Lord, or the Lord just called him while he was in prison in Nicaragua through a book by Billy Graham. And the book changed Jaime's life. He repented right there. The Lord called him out. The Lord delivered him from that prison. Then a miracle of calling him into ministry. Another miracle of sending him to Texas, where he received a four-year education in the Bible. And then a burden to go back to Nicaragua and planting a church or being part of a church there, only to get it up and going, and then feeling the Lord propelling him into the DR. And that's kind of where we are. Now, you mentioned there in the DR, there is a large group. And again, even though this island, Hispaniola, it encompasses both the DR and Haiti, and there's a lot of Haitians that have fled Haiti. There's a lot of problems going on in Haiti, as you mentioned. A lot of political unrest, that's not new for that island. And a lot of poverty, a lot of problems. A lot of people have fled Haiti to go elsewhere, including the DR. But there's a lot of hostility between the DR and these that are there. So it's not exactly an easy situation, but nevertheless, about 2 million Haitians there that need reaching with the gospel. So God's given you a bit of a vision. Can you share that with us?
Yes, thanks, Mike. Yes, well, the Lord introduced me to this Haitian pastor in close by where I live, maybe 30 minutes from where I live. So I visit him, talk to him, trying to understand his culture, how they think, you know, how they act, how they do ministry. And I ended up realizing that in this Haitian church is trying to reach Haitians in the island, you know, in DDR, but the second generation who has been born in the Dominican Republic, who also, you know, they speak Creole, but now they are fluent in Spanish. They are reaching also the Dominican Spanish speakers. I was like, wow. It was like, wow, this is very, very interesting that they have some access, the second generation. But after talking with Pastor Patricio, I realized, can you imagine if we has the opportunity to train the second generation that has been born in the DR, who has been raised in a different culture, who has different education, who can be trained with a better resources, with a better training, and can be sent back to the DR to plant healthy churches. I was like, wow, this can be something amazing if the Lord allowed it.
Mm. That is tremendous to realize that 2 million people are they're living life and their children are growing up both in Creole. Now, that is a big language barrier between Haitians and the Dominican Republic. Again, I think it bears restating, a small island shared by two nations with two languages and a lot of other differences as well, including not a great bit of affinity one for the other. And I think that's just a nice way to say that. But the bottom line is these Haitians that are living now in the DR, their children are growing up with being bilingual, speaking Creole, which is native to Haiti, which is a form of French. It's a derivative of the French language. And now learning Spanish, which is predominantly the language of the DR. And how do you envision reaching this generation, Jaime?
Well, we have different dreams. Well, because we're talking, at this moment, we're talking about two groups. We're talking about the Haitians that come from Haiti, living in this moment in DR. Well, right now we have a partnership with 11 Haitian churches in the DR. So first one, we want to empower the local church with resources, training, and mission teams, if it's possible to bring mission teams down that can allow those 11 churches to grow. If those 11 churches grow and they have the capacity, the training, the knowledge to reach with the gospel the 2 million Haitians in the island, that will be, you know, tremendous. So empower the local church, train the local pastor, help local churches, bring mission teams, can be part of the work we can do to reach out the Haitians that live at this moment in the DR. But also we have the other group is the Haitian people in Haiti. And if we can train the, and we can, you know, support and we can empower those 11 churches, all those members in those churches, train them, the Lord can allow us to have from those churches pastors, new missionaries that can be trained and that can be sent now to Haiti.
Mm.
You know, I think we are talking about a big movement that the Lord can do, you know, He allowed it, you know, because God will. And also, well, I miss the another group. The another group is all the kids from the Haitians that burned in the DR, that they grew up more with a Dominican Republic culture, if you want to think in this way. And
a DA example, culture, right, a DR culture.
DR culture. Like I have in this moment, we open a kid club where we do a program, just like Awana, every Saturday. And we have 55 kids every Saturday. You know, we play games, we have Bible studies, and everything we do it in Spanish. And we realize, hey, in a couple of years, if we keep the relationship with this church, we're gonna need to start a Spanish speaking church inside of the Haiti church. Yeah, because we have all those kids, and those kids, they like the Spanish better. So we need to do something. And we are in the middle of all of this, and we need so much prayer, you know, and to allow, you know, the Lord lead us and empower us, you know, with His Spirit and open doors. So soon, you know, in 5 years, we can see something great by the grace of God.
What an opportunity. You reach out to 11, if I heard the number correctly, 11 churches right now that are within this Haitian community, and they don't have resources. I think it's sad to say that, but the truth of it is that we here in America, we are resource rich, and we forget at times that the rest of the world just does not live the way we are able to live. They don't have the resources that we are able to have. And even hearing the gospel is something that a lot of these people are longing for, but again, they don't have the resources. They don't have radio stations like what American radio stations are and have, and a lot of times in their own language, there's not a lot going on in Creole. So you're talking about two groups. You're talking about the Haitians that are in the DR, number one. That actually, I think I'm counting three because there's a third group as well. But the first group would be the Haitians to reach that are Creole speaking. Secondly, their children, the second generation that are growing up in the DR from Haitian parents that are growing up fluent in Spanish. And then the third group would be dreaming and believing God for missionaries to come up out of these that will go back into Haiti as a missionary. Am I hearing that right?
Exactly. You cannot say it better.
Wow, that's three opportunities here for ministry that is before Jaime in the DR. And so, Aaron, why don't you weigh in on what you see happening with these opportunities?
Mike, it kind of comes back to what you were saying earlier, is how one door seems to lead to another open door. And from my vantage point, it's a privilege to at times be in the middle of that, just hearing the story of Jaime. And now, for example, even later today, to introduce that story to Grace Partnership. Coincidentally, we have our Zoom call today, our biweekly Zoom call. And so just to play that part and to help people see that the work of the gospel is so expansive, and that can be intimidating. And I think when you dial that down onto the level of perhaps a small local church, it can feel like, well, we're doing all we can to just stay above water ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it is so expansive. What could we possibly do? But the principle we see in Scripture, Mike, is what's driving my heart and my passion with our partnership, which is this. So often it was the smallest amount of money, or the most seemingly insignificant person, or the smallest church group in the smallest outlying part of what was known world then, mm-hmm. become the very places, people, and situations through which God does so much. And so to help people get that vision and get connected to that. And I love Jaime's story. When you bring that down on a personal level, arriving in the DR with a couple of suitcases and his family and nothing else, and God putting this desire in his heart. And so to bring that story to people and to help people connect to those stories, to know I can participate in that, that's what I see all this doing.
This is tremendous, a real opportunity, because let's talk for a moment, Jaime, about some of the specifics of what you would love to be able to do to equip these Haitians. Let's talk about that group number one for a moment, those that are Haitian refugees living in the DR, sometimes perhaps without official documentation. They're living there kind of under the radar. They are Creole speaking. And again, there are bits of, let's just say, lack of friendliness between these two groups, the DR natives and those that are living in the DR, Haitians, that are not integrated into DR culture, but their children are growing up. So let's talk about group number one. How can they be reached? What do you feel the Lord leading in your heart, your life, to help these that are speaking Creole, living in the DR, but they are of the Haitian culture, and now they're needing the gospel? What do you feel about that?
Well, we has been doing a few efforts already, but I believe the primary thing to do is to empower, train, prepare the local churches, those 11 local churches. We has a partnership, and also help the pastor to do their mission. I think that is key. Mm-hmm. The second thing I understand is everybody right now is in the social medias. I was doing my Google search about how many radio stations exist in Haiti. In Haiti exists like 11 radio stations. There's two Christian radio stations in the other side of the island, but they only broadcast in FM in a particular area. So we realized, because the Lord before allowed us to start a radio station in Nicaragua and also another in Colombia, that a radio station ministry can be powerful. So I started to do my investigation again, and I realized that it's no Creole material being made right now for radio station. And for me, it was like, wow, this is over. I mean, if we cannot have teaching, preaching, and really record it for radio station, and we don't have a studio right now in place, and it will be so hard to bring those 11 patrons to speak and keep, you know, a program for, let's say, 12 hours a day, it's over. But the Lord put in my heart, Jaime, and what about if you provide the right equipment so this 11 pastor can record teaching, preaching, you know, for the radio station? Imagine 11 people preparing lessons from the Bible, preparing teaching from the Bible, material for the radio station. In 1 year, we can have enough material to stay on and be reaching these people. With online radio station, I mean, we can reach whoever is in the world with the gospel in Creole. That, by the way, right now, then, in my case, I don't find any radio station that is doing this.
Mm. That is amazing to think that in 1 year's time, again, by recording Creole-speaking messages with these 11 pastors, that you would have basically what the kind of radio station that the Shepherd is. We are a teach talk. That is kind of the format that we would use here in America. But we have a good number of just wonderful pastors, ministers, ministries represented around the clock 24/7 on our radio station here on The Shepherd that is bringing the gospel, and it's coming from different parts of the United States. And yeah, there are teachers, obviously, that have come from other parts of the world, but primarily right from the United States, and that is making up what we have on our air 24/7. Teachers like David Jeremiah, James Dobson, Tony Evans, and many, many more. Troy Brewer from Texas. And, you know, the message of the gospel is coming through. So many of these messages that are on our radio station are basically recordings of services that were done in their local churches. And that is, and that is exactly what you're talking about doing. So functionally, you're talking about putting together a teach talk format radio station that would not be terrestrial in the sense of a transmitter and towers and going out in the air, but would be born over the internet. Is that correct?
Exactly. And by God's grace, Mike, we also has two online radio stations. And in one of the radio stations, that the name is Resurrection Radio, that is like a copy of our FM radio in Nicaragua. And just in this radio station, we reach every month 10,000 people. So I know this work. I know this work. Mm. And at least for us, for our church in Nicaragua, having a radio station that has 10,000 listeners a month, I mean, it's incredible.
That is amazing. And you had the experience when you were in Nicaragua to equip you to do the very thing that you feel God's putting on your heart now.
Well, Mike, that is another thing the Lord's do, you know. The Lord sometimes prepare you before things happen. When I was young in my hometown, the Lord allowed me to work for almost seven years in a radio station that, by the way, was the largest radio station in FM at that time in the country.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. I pray that the Lord will do this, and we're going to be back in a moment to talk about the specifics of how that this can all come together. And maybe even those that are hearing this, whether you're listening on air or online or through the podcast, it's very possible that you could take part and join in and be a part of reaching 2 million Haitians that are living right now in the DR, and then beyond that, perhaps on into Haiti. Because, again, the internet is worldwide. I'm with Jaime Blandon and also Aaron Osborne, and we're going to be back with both of them coming up in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. Back again in the studio with Aaron Osborne and also online with Jaime Blandon. And Jaime is today in Titusville, but he is actually from the DR and does a work there with right now 11 churches that are Haitian speaking or Creole speaking Haitian churches. And God has given this man, Jaime, a vision. He's also experienced already a lot of the very sense of call that's on his heart in the sense of a radio station. Jaime has experience with Christian radio in Nicaragua. And the vision that Jaime's been given from God is to take equipment that and resources that could come to them in the DR, and with Haitian pastors who have very little Creole-speaking ministry programs for Haiti, to develop that, and through an internet radio station, an internet Christian radio station, pipe the gospel out to these people, 2 million of them in the DR alone, and give them the message of the gospel. And Jaime, you mentioned there's only one program that you're aware of right now in Creole.
Yes, that's right. It's Back to the Bible from Vernon McGee Ministry. It's the only one I find so far.
Wow. So this is a harvest field that is white, just ripe. It's white for harvest. We can do this. We can be a part. So what do you need to have this happen? What do you need? Where are you right now in the process of developing an internet radio station that would be able to reach these people?
Well, at this moment, Mike, we have been doing already, you know, our homework. The server is already, the streaming is already active. The radio station is already playing some music. But now the idea is to equip like a little studio where we can bring the pastor in and they can record their teaching, you know, but for make this happen, we will need like computers, a computer, a microphone, the software. We have the software, you know, to record. But that type of equipment, and I think you are maybe the best person to ask for, you know, what will be the best equipment to use. But primarily, you know, a computer, or we was thinking about some type of mobile devices, but, you know, sometimes mobile devices pick up, you know, different noises from the background, and that is not too useful for radio.
Well, I tell you, I do know, and we can see this happen, and I think it's very easy. Basically, I mean, a good laptop and a good USB microphone is what you need to get started. And with that, believe it or not, as simple as that, a good laptop and a good USB microphone. Now, there are many other things to embellish that. A radio console would be needed, would be helpful. Other materials like what we are sitting in just a beautiful studio right now. You can go that fancy, or you can go as bare bones as what I've just described with a USB microphone and a good laptop, and basically be able to record. And what we're talking about, just so that people get an idea, you already have this thing going. It's already on. It's streaming. I heard you say that. So for those that maybe are not familiar, I think most people today do understand streaming as a term, but our radio station is streamed on the internet as well. And basically it's streaming with music right now. And just only one program that you're aware of in Creole. And your dream is to begin to record what would become hours and hours of growing material that could be then packaged together in 30-minute programs like what we have on The Shepherd, or an hour program that would be recorded right there in the DR by these 11 Haitian pastors. And then people all over the DR, and people, for that matter, in Haiti and beyond, would be able to hear teaching in their language, Creole, that would be pointing them to the gospel. That's exciting.
And Mike, brother, is another thing we cannot miss, because if my understanding is right, we're going to be producing the first Creole radio material. So soon we can be providing good show to another radio station that already exists in Haiti, that they are not able to produce them, or maybe they don't have the equipment to produce them or the knowledge to produce them.
Mm-hmm.
So we can provide also materials to another radio stations.
Mm. That's wonderful. Wow. A first ever. This is really a great opportunity. Aaron, give us the address right up front here, and then we'll give it again at the end.
Yes, if you're listening today and any of this inspires you, you know, Mike, it takes me back to what I said. Even here myself sitting, I'm thinking, okay, I can't give that sermon. I don't speak Creole to do that.
Right.
So what could I do? Well, I can pray. Additionally, God may lead me to give. And if you're listening and you'd be interested in doing that, you could simply do that at Grace Partnership, and you'll find us at 910 South Winter Park Drive in Castleberry, Florida, and that's 32707. You can also find us online at gracepartnership.net. And if you're so inclined to do so, just indicate it's for Jaime. It's for the DR. It's for Haiti. We'll know exactly where it's to go.
Jaime spelled J-A-I-M-E.
Correct.
And Jaime's on the line with us right now. And, of course, that is the base, the 910 South Winter Park Drive is the Metro Life Church address. And you can reach reach Aaron there or through Grace Partnership, as he just said. And we're going to give that address out again at the end. So if you missed it, we're going to give it here in just a few minutes again. So let's recap a little bit. We're talking about an opportunity for a radio station that would be an internet radio station that would be based in the DR. There's already the structure for that. The streaming is already happening. There's music being played. But what there is not available right now, there is not Creole-based Bible teaching that is enough to support an ongoing 24/7 Christian radio station that has the teaching of the gospel, that shares the message of Jesus in Creole. And God is putting upon the heart of Jaime Blandon to do that very thing. And what he needs, in addition to your prayer, he needs the gear to be able to pull together anywhere from a very basic studio to something that would be more elaborate, but very basic will do in the beginning. He has the 11 pastors that he works with in the DR that can come in and begin to record programs that would be then packaged it together and then put together as a radio show, just like what you hear on The Shepherd all day long. And then as time goes on, they would have enough material to be a full-time Christian radio station beaming the gospel in Creole. Am I saying that right, Aaron? Is that pretty much a capsulization of this?
Yes, you absolutely captured it. And what a beautiful thought. And then again, something Jaime said earlier is all that we're talking about is how God may use this radio program online to reach the 2 million Haitians who are in the DR, but as well, those are in Haiti. And just maybe God is going to raise up some of these pastors who will actually one day go back to Haiti and perhaps plant churches with some of the very same people who are possibly, we pray and believe, introduced to Christ through this program.
I know a lot of my friends that have, over time, Jaime, they visited Haiti and they visited the DR on either missions trips or, you know, there's just a lot of people who know people from Haiti. And, of course, when the earthquake happened a number of years ago, a lot of people were touched in their hearts to give. So I think it's important that they realize that this is something that is a new and a very exciting opportunity, a venture that can change the lives of people because they are not getting the word in Creole right now at all in this group in the DR. So Jaime, we're running out of time here, but I want to make sure we get this address one more time. Aaron, if you'd give us that web address.
Yes, you can find Grace Partnership at gracepartnership.net. If you are still like me, someone who writes checks, you can send a gift for Jaime to Grace Partnership, and that's going to be at 910 South Winter Park Drive in Castleberry, Florida, 32707.
Oh, Jaime, thank you so much for being with me here today on the program. And, you know, we're going to be praying for you. And I know that the vision that God's given He doesn't open these doors. And I that metaphor that we talked about earlier, that a door often opens another one. I pray that that continues with you and all that you're doing. And, you know, we're talking about right now a Creole base, but I know you've got those second generation Haitians that you're ministering to as well in Spanish. So we're just praying for you, my brother.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, I can get into that. That sounds exciting. I've enjoyed my time with this brother already today. So Jaime, thank you. Aaron, thank you. And friends, thank you for joining us today on Afternoons with Mike. We'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.